You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dr. Lewis, I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the war, and I'd like to give the information. Ask me for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Well, our thanks to Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. That was one of the quickest hours I think I've ever experienced, and he is certainly a man of God, and we need more like him. And I know there are a lot of people like Dave in our audience, and I would just say be bold, speak out. They're trying to silence us, particularly white people. If you say anything and you're a white supremacist. I don't know if you saw this NYU professor, but I'll talk about that in the next hour. Let me get right to the business because I want to get to Paul's interview. We're brought to you by TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Learn how to navigate Bitcoin, cryptocurrency. Go to TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Sign up. It's a great deal. You get to trade with the big boys, and a lot of money's getting made. They're up over 6,000 since last year at this time. So go to TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Also, too, you've heard tough times are ahead. Revelations tells us that. Well, give yourself a chance to get through this. You need storable food. Go to Numana.com/Hodges. And use the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. Well, interview Paul, like I said, a couple of days ago. And very telling, because you're going to hear us say some things about the importance of CalExit to this terrorist movement controlled by George Soros. Without further ado, let's go right to the interview. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And on the newsmaker line with me, we have Paul Preston from Agenda 21 Radio. And Paul and I have been talking a lot over the last several months, really going back over a year now, regarding the events in California. We have now seen another terrorist attack on American soil in Manhattan. It could not be denied because the police found the ISIS note in the man's car before the FBI could get there and cover it up, a la Las Vegas-style cover-up. And I said, the UN is the organizational structure. Antifa is the operational guide, and underneath Antifa is MS-13, the cartels, and also ISIS. And that's the organizational structure I've been laying out with documentation over the last week or so. And on the line with me is Paul Preston to talk about some of this. And Paul, you know, we talked last night or the other night on the phone. And I told you, I said, I think all of this has its genesis in California and the CalExit movement.
Well, you know, it's probably a pretty good idea to be thinking that way. when you take a look at what the CalExit movement is all about and, you know, the relationship that they want to cling on to with the United Nations, it's pretty clear that the relationships that are just on the surface of it, they proclaimed when CalExit first came out originally, as Yes California, they started this whole thing, they were going to be part of the United Nations, and that's who they were going to be answering to. They wanted to create a free nation from California. They wanted to secede, do the process of secession. And they had a plan. They thought they had a plan until actually I got a hold of it, and I started ripping them apart on the radio. And all of a sudden, they pulled their plan back. They just said, oh, well, this isn't the way to do it. And then they came back with a more revised, more sophisticated plan of sedition. We could have a more sophisticated plan of sedition, but it was a little bit more well thought out. Really, it's sedition, sedition. It's treason. It's against the law. But they still have it out there. And, you know, it shows you to what extent they will try to go to form a nation out of the state of California and break up the United States. It's clearly what they are attempting to do. So if you think about it, you have a group that is dedicated to tearing up the United States of America from a government standpoint of California separating as its own nation. And you got all the things, the terrible things that are going on in California, the terrible governance system that we have. We're being ruled by a tyrant. We're living in a tyranny. It just really, I think, is more proof than anything else that the totalitarians that are all wrapped up there in the United Nations are, well, they've got their Antifa and other agents out there doing the same thing to the rest of the nation now. They're trying to make as much trouble in the nation as they possibly can right now. And again, these are the globalists speaking, ladies and gentlemen. These are not the what we would call the Americanists. These are the globalists, and these are their this is their army, so to speak. Just like Al-Qaeda, just like ISIS, just exactly like Antifa. They're all an army, and of course MS-13, cartels, we can just go down the list. They're all working in conjunction with one another to destroy the country, clearly.
Well, Paul, one of the things I remember having very clear conversations with you last year, and this was prior to this was the lead up to the election, and you had embedded sources that were at these meetings in
right.
which it was discussed that if we can't withdraw from the Union through CalExit, we'll force our way out by just killing white people en masse. Let's talk
right.
about that a little bit.
Well, you know, the killing white people or the mention of getting rid of Europeans out of the United States because, you know, Europeans took over the United States and then thus ultimately stole Mexico, which at that time, back in the day, was included the Southwest, California, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, Nevada, you know, and so on. This whole Aslan business. It was back then that they were really pushing very, very hard to make their case because it was in the waning months of the Obama administration. We got to put this in perspective. We still, like a year ago at this time, we still had not had the November elections. We did not know what was going on with Donald Trump. And but then after Donald Trump won, of course, there was so much vitriol going on out there. But the problem that they had, I think, in their little operation is that Donald Trump won. They were expecting Hillary Clinton to have won, and thus a continuation of their policies in California would be very, very prudent, obviously. And you saw what they were actually doing at the end of the administration, actually at the end when Donald Trump got into office. Eric Holder comes out here. Loretta Lynch comes out here. The whole cast of characters comes out here. And, you know, they're in California. What are they in California for? Well, as we found out at one of our Tea Party meetings in January of last year, this year, actually, January this year, we found out that they had actually been planning and that there were a lot of planning sessions with Obama administrations from November, December into January even, in groups around the state of California to talk about the secession movement of CalExit, because they soon realized when they first rolled this thing out last year that they had a problem. And the problem was is that there is a right way to secede from the Union. It's done by way of the Constitution. You have to bring a bunch of states together and get approval. And, of course, they realize what a hurdle that is to get all these states to come together and say, well, yeah, can we get 38 or 40 states to say we don't want California to be around anymore and thus separate? They realized they couldn't do that. So what happened was they said, well, what's the other alternative? And they looked that up. In fact, I think I was teaching them and coaching them at the same time because I was talking about this in their dilemma on the radio. And I was saying, oh, there's this decision in White versus Texas in 1867. And so there's really only two ways a state can, or any states can leave the Union. That's one by a process, by getting, you know, the majority, a two-thirds majority of states to agree to it, and the other is just by open revolution. So the topic they were stuck with was open revolution. They wanted California, and they were actually going around group to group, trying to get to gauge what type of allegiance they would have from various groups, including gangs, La Raza and Mecha, just to mention a couple, to see if they would actually go to battle and kill Californians and kill white people in particular. And this is what they were talking about. Now, I want to, you know, I'm not trying to be racist here, or, you know, we're KKK or anything like that. This is the vernacular of La Raza. Now, if anybody's racist, La Raza, they're self-admitted racist.
They are racist.
And, I mean, the term La Raza in Spanish is the race. Hello, and they are absolutely racist. I've dealt with these people for 26 years as a school administrator, and I can't tell you the number of times they would threaten me, or in general, let's say we had a school discipline issue with a student, and the student happened to be involved with a gang, and of course you work your way up to the parents, whoever the responsible adults were, and you find out, well, they got a connection to La Raza. And they would come in, and of course I was white. That was a problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were blatantly racist towards me and their comments. And the common theme that would come through, if they were really angry at what was the result of the discipline action, they would get into this little tirade about all the Anglos that have come over to the United States. They stole Mexico from us. They did this. They did that. And see this skin? They'd always point to their skin and go, see this brown? See this? We're going to run California. We're going to run you out. We're going to kill all white people. They would make statements like that. Dave, this is what we. But you know, after you hear about 10 of those in a year or so, it's kind of like, well, this is they're racist.
Yeah, well, they are.
They're just sabating. But the problem was, they were actually sitting down and having these planning meetings, and these planning meetings were talking about whether or not they could garner enough, I guess you would say, gangsters or people that would go out and take up arms and actually create a revolution in California, and. It was a pretty amazing night, a year ago in January it'll be, when we had a Mexican man come in and another man come in to the Tea Party, and they knew that they had a Tea Party around, so they came in to tell us what happened at that meeting, and it was the most stunning thing. 70, 80 people in that room were absolutely stunned when this man came in and told everybody, they intend to kill white people in California.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, going back to the racism situation for a second here, the people who I talk to are some of the biggest opponents of this kind of action are Hispanics.
Right.
American citizens who just happen to be, and I want to say this, just happen to be of Hispanic background.
Right.
They are furious at this. They want America to be what America is, not what these thugs want to make it into.
Right. And, you know, the biggest disappointment, Chris Street said it best. On the radio show a couple weeks ago, he said it best. He said the biggest disappointment that the left has is when they bring illegal aliens, illegal Mexicans, or Central America, South America, over to the United States. What the biggest problem that they have is they become assimilated into the culture, and they like that.
yeah, it is. In fact,
all they have.
Paul, I've had occasion to talk to some people who are undocumented and who are here. And I've asked them what they think about this stuff, and surprisingly, a number of them know about it. And what they tell me is, we didn't come here for this crap, Dave. We came here to get away from this crap.
Yeah.
I know. So the racism argument goes out the window. Anyone who's a law-abiding citizen, regardless of race and background, does not want to see this go on.
Right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I had we're doing this new California State initiative, and I'm telling you, I have talked to hundreds of people over the last couple of months all around California, and that is the theme. If you want to get into that conversation, that is the theme. And one guy who calls me consistently, and I'm not going to tell you what area of California he calls me from, but he is very concerned. He's Hispanic, and he's very concerned. He's a veteran. He's a wounded veteran. And he's very concerned because being Hispanic, he said to me, he said, no longer can Hispanics or people of color that are California citizens claim any kind of advantage over white people. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, look, he said, now the system is so corrupt, it doesn't matter if you're talking about getting on welfare, if you're talking about VA benefits, if you're talking about anything in California. He said, if you are a Mexican in California and you're a citizen, he said, you know, we don't get any kind of special privileges. The people who are getting special privileges are the illegal aliens. He said, that's it. And I said, yeah. I said, what this means is it cuts across racial and ethnic boundaries, and no longer are American citizens of all colors, given any rights at all. I termed the coin illegal citizen. We're just illegal citizens.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we are. Illegal citizens. I like that, Paul.
Right.
Because it's so darned accurate. But as far as this criminal structure goes, I want to introduce one more party to this. I published on my website last year when CalExit opened an embassy in Moscow, and I had the flag, the backdrop, everything, and there was no denying it. It was, there it is. The Russians are behind what's going on in this country, aren't they?
I would say yes. I think there's some opportune Russians that are behind things here in this country. I think they're taking the opportunity, certainly under Obama, like anybody else would, to take advantage of the situation. But I think the globalists in general, and there's a whole scattering of them, and they can be Russian, they can be German, they can be, you know, especially out of Germany. These people, and of course are American totalitarians, and you don't have to go too far to look at, find some of those with Obama and some of the church figures, actually, which is kind of amazing. We have a particular church situation going on in Orange County, California. I'll talk about in a second about this. But these totalitarians have amassed together, and they are trying to destroy, obviously, the social fabric and the entire fabric of this country. And you're seeing it play out in California the best, because you have a lawless dictator in the form of Jerry Brown, and he's got a monoparty. And it's not unlike, and of course there's been a lot of talk about the Catalan experience. And in Catalonia, they're trying to declare independence, as they are in a number of dozens of countries in the former Eastern Europe and also all throughout Europe. There's still independence movements going on. And in Catalonia, it's kind of interesting. I started doing I've done a lot of research about Catalonia because I went to the Olympics in '92 there. But the other big thing was the stumbling upon the factual history. Now, this is very relevant to California and other states, by the way. The history of how General Francisco Franco came to power and how he seized the dictatorship in Spain is a very fascinating read. It parallels strikingly with what we're seeing here in California with the dictatorship of Jerry Brown that we have. It's amazing. They went to the key thing for Franco to do was to get to a one-party system. Which, if you think about it, in California, we have a one-party system. We don't have any more Republican Party in California. They're worthless.
No, you don't. Absolutely. I have people that reach out to me that are running for high government office in California as Republicans, and they're white. And I'm sorry, I don't have my time to waste on this.
Well, and, you know, again, what's the problem is that the leadership at the top of the California Republican Party, I mean, just bring in John McCain to run it all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you have. So, I mean, that's got to strike a chord with everybody out there in the nation. They get that. You know, they get that John McCain's in charge of the California Republican Party. You can see, and that's what the mess that it's in. And by the way, there are tons of conservatives and of good Republicans out there in California that apparently they just don't get it, and they're not willing to topple the leadership there, but it's the leadership that's taken them down the primrose lane, and they always have been. And now what they're going to do is they're going to reach out, and John Cox apparently is going to be the chosen one, and he's just, you know, he's like Neil Kashkari. He's just a stand and a stooge, you know, for Gavin Newsom to win. Of course, the other part of that goes along with all this corruption is the complete corruption of our voting system here in California.
Well, there is no integrity in voting anywhere, but it's especially heinous in California.
Yeah.
Let's go to the fires up in Northern California. And is it your contention? Because here I have the family tree. Okay, I'm talking UN, I'm talking Antifa, MS-13, and ISIS, and related groups. Are we talking participation and complicity from any or part of this organizational structure to the fires in California?
At some point, I believe, and I've got very strong suspicions based upon a lot of facts, but this is clearly, it was a terrorist operation, a well-coordinated one, and utilizing, I believe, weather warfare and geoengineering with the windstorms in particular. But I had a very good friend of mine in law enforcement who man a very high level person, very high level, who actually went through all the data of the fires. And by the way, a Californian who understands these things. And it was his contention. And he called me about 45 minutes into the fire that night. And it was a sleepless night for me because the winds were blowing so badly. We're even right. I'm not too far. In fact, one of the counties is right up, you know, just a few miles from me, Yuba County. And it woke up everybody, the dogs, everywhere, just all out there. And I went in the backyard, and our trees were leaning over in the opposite direction they would from a windstorm. Well, that's a problem. So the wind was all coming from a misdirection. It was coming from the east to the west in California. That's just not the way it works, especially in these kind of storms. And, you know, the situation just got out of hand quickly, and I thought to myself, man, this is wild wind. And so about 45 minutes later, I get a call from a friend of mine who's in law enforcement, and he's telling me that, you know, there's something really odd about these fires and how they've started. And sure enough, a little bit later on in the morning, we're getting data that what he's seeing and what he was recognizing from people that he could talk to, because, you know, we got connections in Cal Fire and so on. It seems that they were all started at one time following certain roads in and around Calistoga and other places where these fires could easily be ignited. Do you realize, Dave, that 65 fires were started in the matter of a couple of hours?
That's, I mean, it's just, statistically that's, improbable that this is due to chance.
Am I stating
the obvious here? I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know the winds were bad, but ladies and gentlemen, you just can't. I understand. I get that. I've lived through firestorms. We almost lost my parents' house in Orange County in a huge. A lot of homes went up. People died and everything in that one. We managed to save the house. We got out just in time. It was one of these epic scenes where homes were blowing up around us because, you know, when they get superheated, they blow up. And we were desperate to get out, and, you know, we could have been caught in the fire and all that stuff, but, you know, we survived. I get it. And, of course, the other big thing that is really, really very odd in this fire is the heat intensity. And it just so happened that I was at the Eagle Forum making a speech in Santa Rosa the Saturday before the fire started. And one of the things I noticed, and again, I'm a biologist, so I would note these things. I mean, you know, I love vegetation. I'm a freak, actually, for oak trees. So just it's a biological thing. It's a biology thing, right? Anyway, and they have a lot of oak trees and redwoods and things up in that area in Santa Rosa. And I drove around the neighborhoods. I was looking around and everything and was checking out. And a couple things I did notice. I noticed that all the vegetation in Santa Rosa appeared to be almost like dying. It was weird, especially your broadleaf vegetation was really, really looking, you know, desiccated, I would call it, like starving for water almost. And I did notice the other little phenomena, which I think is pretty interesting. Almost every commercial property that I drove by was empty in Santa Rosa. They have big campuses there for commercial, and they're all empty. There's no business. Of course, business has been driven out of California. And these big, beautiful buildings, and of course, a lot of those buildings actually went up in the fire, which I found very odd the way the fire skipped around like that. But, you know, the intensity of the heat and everything with that fire was another thing that I found very, very unusual. Now, I'm not going to go and talk about the maybe some sort of laser weapons or microwaves were utilized. I'm not in there yet. I don't rule it out, trust me. But I'm not in there yet, so I'm still on the side of what I can see and what I know. But I believe, Dave, that it's compelling to believe what I know about the evidence that's there, and I'm sure the fire people know this. And by the way, they don't know what started the fires, right? Their thing that got out really early in the firestorm, I know because I talked to firemen. It got out, it was PG&E, and their wires came down and sparked all those fires. And I thought to myself, I doubt that.
All 65.
Right, yeah. And so that was something that was floated very, very early. But then all of a sudden, lo and behold, they capture it. That actually, it's interesting, it was our own Chris Street who broke the story there in Santa Rosa, in Sonoma County, that an arsonist was captured. And he was captured starting a fire. And it's kind of interesting. They were looking for this guy. The probation department was looking for this arsonist. They wanted to find out where he was. And oh, by the way, Sonoma County declared itself to be a sanctuary county. And this arsonist had been arrested prior times, at least 7 or 8 times. And some of those were arson. Oh, go figure. And so this is the key thing. A lot of people aren't talking about this one. This arsonist, they were looking for him. Probation, they had 3 probation officers assigned to go find this guy. Now, wait a minute. Why did you assign, you've worked with probation, I worked years with probation, I get it. Why would you assign 3 officers to go find this guy? Well, that's because you know he's an arsonist and he's on the loose. Well, and they caught him right there in one of these parks out there starting fires. Now, the early report I got from a citizen inside Santa Rosa that their fires started from inside some of the parks there in Santa Rosa. That's what they told me. That was while the fires are still raging. The person escaped from their home, they called me, and I'm having that conversation. I'm like, well, you got to be kidding me. So they capture this guy. Now, here's the problem for the state of California and Jerry Brown and everybody else who decides that they're going to get into the sanctuary state business. If, in fact, this guy can be found, and I'm not saying he is, I'm not saying he started any fires. I'm not saying that. And of course, everybody was trying to escape from this comment. Everybody thought that when Chris Street published that article and Breitbart put it out and I put it out, they're saying, well, we said that he started all these fires. And we never said, even Rush Limbaugh backed off on the story. But we never said that. We said he was a suspect. But if, in fact, then this is why they were screaming and yelling. If, in fact, they find out that this guy had something to do with those fires, or if these fires were deliberately set by MS-13 or by any of these cartels, and some of these guys get picked up, and they find out that they were on ICE, they were on the ICE detainers, but they sent them free anyway, which is what happened in Sonoma 8 times to this guy. He committed crimes, they just sprung him out. If, in fact, he's related to that, guess who's on the hook for this criminal starting a fire? Now, I'm not saying he is the guy, I'm just saying, what if? Guess who's on the hook for that? Criminally.
El Presidente?
Jerry Brown.
That's what I said, El Presidente.
El Presidente.
That's what we like to call him. He wants to be the president of California.
All the supervisors who voted for that illegal legislation, they're on the hook. You think there's a little bit of backing off from that? Boy, I got to tell you the reaction. I can tell you this. I'll speak about it. The reaction from Sonoma when Chris Street put this article out, and we had it out too. We were the only people who had it out, Agenda 21 Radio and Breitbart. The reaction was overwhelming. We got calls. They got calls. I mean, the governor's office was going nutty. Well, of course, because there's liability there. You could actually go right up the food chain and arrest Jerry Brown. And he could be fined criminally negligent and also civilly negligent and be on the hook. There's $9 billion worth of damage up there, at least, and counting. We don't know how many people have been killed. Right now they say 43. The young lady who lost her legs in that fire, that tragic fire, and her brother was, they were running out of the house and the car was on fire, and the boy died and the girl had her legs amputated. She died yesterday. She passed away. And sadly, she became number 43. Here's the problem with that number. And again, this goes into the Las Vegas thing. Boy, hasn't all the information just sort of dried up about Las Vegas and the Sonoma fires? I'm getting emails and requests. The thing that absolutely really has touched me, I think, more in radio than what happened in Sonoma was because we put out the truth and information, we're getting emails, and anybody's free to email me, paul@a21r.com. I put that on the radio all the time. I'm getting emails from relatives who want me to tell the truth about how their relatives died. And they want me to find out where they are. Now, they say there's 43 that are dead, but we've heard numbers, and I actually went to one of the fire areas last Tuesday, and I asked a group of people, what are you hearing about the deaths, how many there are? And it was still outstanding. And they said between, one person said only 24, but the majority of the people said between 100 and 300 still unaccounted for. Now, we have it. Our number, we're sticking with it, is 400. and we're sticking with our original number. But that's the range that's out there in this out there in those counties.
Paul, I have an email from someone who claims to be a fireman in that area, and he said obviously he can't speak freely, and he's not worried about loss of job. He's worried about loss of life.
Right.
He said that they were people covering up the evidence that people burned up in their cars trying to make a getaway. Entire rows of cars were burned out. People died in their cars. Yes.
I heard that, Dave. I heard that probably around 6:30 that morning from a fireman. I heard that very same. The rows of cars, people were, and in fact, the incident I just gave you about the girl who just recently, that's what happened. Their car caught on fire, and they had to get out on, tried to get out on foot, and that's what happened to them. But then there's other people, they got their car caught on fire, going through, one story, going through intersections and cars on fire, people trying to stop at red lights, because the lights are all screwed up, but the fire catches their car on fire while they stupidly stop at the red light. I mean, that's the kind of story that you hear.
That's the story that I was getting as well, Paul, and I'm telling you, I believe it. I believe it because there are so many people out there that say we're not getting the real casualty totals. I'm hearing that across the board.
Right, right. And, my sources, and I really can't reveal what stories I can tell from that because I think it's going to track back to them. But this is the kind of stuff that I've been hearing consistently, and it hasn't gone away. It's still going on. I'm still getting the emails from people, and I'm trying. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I will try and help as much as I possibly can. And you're free to, email me, paul@a21r.com. I'll do whatever I can do, but I'm very, very limited to what I can do, actually. But if something does come up and if I have some names or information, I'll try and connect with you as best I can.
What I would like to know is, assuming this story is accurate and assuming there is a cover-up of how people really died in large numbers and they're removing the evidence, wouldn't you like to know, Paul, who's the group removing the evidence?
Yeah, and you know what else is happening is pilfering is going on. A lot of people had home safes up there. That's a very affluent area, and there were a lot of people who had a lot of, and they're not being allowed into their neighborhoods, I might add, because they say it's contaminated and all that stuff. Here's the problem: is a lot of people had safes. What's happened to the safes on the property? Well, people are I'm sure, and you've seen fire damage safes and what's inside of people have coins on. They all melt together. And that's what happens to coins, even if they're in those vaults. Well, people, it's very easy to open those things up and take all that stuff out. And if you go house to house, you can get millions of dollars out of that. They could loot those houses for millions. And that's just one little thing to look at.
Let me just share with you what Steve Quayle has said consistently through the years, and everything I've seen unfold verifies what he's talking about. He talks about the carving up of the United States, and it's right. going to be done under the UN flag, and we're seeing this organization proliferate in California. But what Steve says is that the Chinese are going to get the big stuff because they own our debt, but the Russians that come in under the UN flag are going to be allowed to pilfer in just the manner you're describing.
Right.
Steve has been talking about this for years.
Yeah, and of course that's what that's basically what they've been doing. And I mean, I wouldn't doubt that that's probably part of their plan. It's a free for all, and this is what Obama and the globalists set up, is a free for all to come here and pilfer the United States. And it's going to start in California. That's the first place. You can see what Jerry Brown's doing. It's so obvious he's trying to destroy the state. I mean, what did he sign into law yesterday? He took away the penalty for people who commit a gun crime to have enhanced criminal charges filed against them yesterday. He erased that. So if you go out and commit a crime with a gun, it's okay. You're not going to get any enhanced criminal punishment against you. He just took that away. It's crazy.
It's called Antifa.
Right. Right.
Friend of Antifa.
Right. The whole thing is to arm them more and disarm us. That's what it comes down to. And then that whole thing about teachers can't defend themselves. They cannot carry. It used to be back in the day, and I used to permit this as an administrator, teachers always who had a CCW, they were always welcome on my campus. Are you kidding me? And you know, they took that away. You can no longer have that in California. Teachers cannot defend themselves against an armed individual right now in California.
Talk to me about that. What are the specifics? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Well, the specifics are that back in the day, if you had a CCW and you were a school teacher, you were allowed and permitted to carry on campus. That was very, very common for me to know about that. And some teachers would come to me politely and say, you know, I have a CCW. And I said, fine. You can come on my campus. You'd be on campus. I have no. It was not against the law to do that. And then a couple of years ago, they started, you know, Jerry Brown, of course, then and the Democrats started to whittle away at that and said, oh, we need to do away with guns on campus. You know, continue to disarm and you know, make it a gun-free zone. Gun-free zone meant you couldn't have a CC. You could have a CCW, but you can't bring your gun on campus. And so the continuation of that now was this. So they outlawed teachers being able to carry on campus. And then, of course, they just blatantly said that in a new law that you cannot defend yourself with a gun. You cannot fire back if you're being fired upon.
In all settings or just on school grounds?
Just on school grounds.
So you can be shot at, but you can't do anything about it.
You have a gun available, you can't do anything about it.
What if you disarm the assailant? Can you shoot him?
I would say yes.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking practically. I'm talking in the twisted mind of Jerry Brown and the crazies that run your state.
There's no law against that. If it's seen as self-defense, there's still no law against that. And, of course, you know, I always taught active shooter training to my staff and students. So, you know, at the very end there, when I was in the last couple of years of my reign as a superintendent and principal, because you have to teach these kids how to defend themselves. Don't be stupid. I always used to say the first thing when I did my PowerPoint was never, ever give the assailant permission to kill you. Have that in your mind. You're going to do everything you can to defeat him and stop him from killing you and others. And you know, once you have that mindset, that's about 90% of the whole training. Get that mindset, because some people are dated. They just, you know, they don't, you know, they can't think for themselves in terms of it's a panic situation. And listen, I'm not ripping on them. I'm just saying that when the gunfire starts going, you get that big loud bang, bang, bang. You know, it's frightening. It's scary, especially echoing in a classroom and you got kids. I mean, I get that, but you got to fight back. You have to pull your senses about you and fight back in some way. And you know, just that I think gives a lot of people security. But now, you know, the unknown, the real defense behind that was somebody with a CCW in a school sense setting. And of course, in some places, like in Utah, teachers are rightfully armed. In fact, they go through training to become armed on campus.
Places in Texas as well, too.
Yeah.
So this begs the question now. They've burned down the forest. They've sabotaged the Oroville Dam to where one day it is going to break. When does this violence turn to malls and schools?
Pretty soon. It's going to start, I think, this year. I think that you're going to start to see more school shootings, especially here in California. They know that they've got people disarmed. So I would be very, very suspect of the schools in California, especially your high schools, where you get a large number of people in a small place at one time. Lunchtimes at schools, where you have, especially schools that have single lunches, you're going to have a large mass of people in the quad or, you know, in centralized areas. Those are perfect places for these killing zones. Shopping malls are going to be, of course, they've been the prime targets. But, you know, I would say California, because they all know, everybody now knows how disarmed schools really are in California. And one resource officer with a gun is just not going to do it for you. He's only got one, maybe two, another one hidden, and maybe something out in his car. But, you know, out in his car is a long ways away. And I can tell you, as you know, Dave, when you're sitting in a school and people come out through the door all of a sudden, I used to get that all the time. Somebody be angry, somebody come into the school, they'd be upset. You know, what's to say they couldn't just pull out a gun and start shooting? And that's what happens. It happens that quick. And so that's why having somebody with a gun on campus, like a principal or assistant principal or a teacher, you know, can readily confront those people.
Well,
our schools are targets in California, no doubt.
Yeah, I know. In Israel, the teachers there carry M16s.
Right, I know.
And I'm talking female teachers.
Right.
And they shoulder strap when they go out to recess.
Yeah, they're ready to go.
Yeah, they are. And this is what this violence is going to come home to. Now, I find it interesting that Vegas was hit, now Manhattan has been hit, but I know this originates in California. What do you think, what do you anticipate is going to be the next move?
Well, you know, you got these days coming up. They say that there's going to be some sort of big thing happening starting on the 4th. I think if something starts on the 4th, it's just a precursor for a whole series of events for several months to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that their battle is on, basically. And I, quite frankly, I haven't done the numerology on what the, you know, November 4th, 2017 equates out to, but it's probably some symbolic number to Islam. You know, that's just something for those of you that don't know how they code themselves in terms of their attacks. This is kind of the stuff they lay down. I would suspect that you're going to see the whole gamut could apply. Today we saw 8 people killed with a truck. And, you know, with a truck, and of course the guy was Muslim, and he apparently wrote some notes and so on. And I saw the picture of him, and of course he looked a lot like the guy who was the so-called security guard at the Mandalay Bay.
I call it the
ISIS uniform on, which of course is the beard without the mustache and the buttoned-up shirt. And guess what? That guy today had the same kind of look about him. And as he turns out to be, obviously a cell embedded a long time ago here in the United States. But I think today's actions with a truck are just showing you how resourceful they can be. Was it $65 a day to go kill 8 people for the rental of the truck, something like that?
You're right. I remember in the old show 24, you know, a la Jack Bauer, Kiefer Sutherland, that they had one of the years start out. I forget which season this was, but they started the show out with massive terrorist attacks constantly all across the United States that paralyzed the government.
Right.
And this is the goal. People need to know this is the goal. The goal is destabilization of the government. Fox News reported on last Sunday, they said that the U.S. has approved the U.N. coming on U.S. soil for policing activities during times of national disaster or national disruption. And to me, Paul, I think that's where this is headed.
Mm-hmm. Well, could quite possibly. And, you know, the thing that in terms of what you have with California, you know, one of their things when they first started up with their CalExit Blue Book, as they called it, you know, the questions about independence, I think is what the term of it was, is that they laid down the groundwork that they were definitely going to be aligned with the United Nations. They were going to become a part of the United Nations and not the United States any longer. I mean, so there it is. And, of course, they kind of avoided that little topic. Now, I keep it alive. I want people to know what the truth is about these slime balls. And, you know, we keep it alive about what is going on with CalExit. It's a very sophisticated, very well-moneyed program. And you heard Steve Bannon, actually at the California Republican Convention last week, talk just about this subject. That and give them, you know, 6 to 8 years, and California will be going for independence as its own nation if the Republicans don't get their act together. Now, I got news for you. The Republican Party in California is inept. They're irrelevant. And they will not have their act together anytime, you know, in the future. And by the way, we have a host of just fabulous Republican candidates in California besides the morons at the top. And get, you know, to run even against Gavin Newsom, but they're outnumbered. The political system won't let them. The voting system is so corrupt, and there's no way they're going to have any kind of chance to get in. So yes, after, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 more years of this kind of governance that we've seen from the dictator Jerry Brown and the mono party, there will be such a movement that would probably be successful after 6 or 7 years. Now, there's a problem with that little theory and that little plan, is that's the new California state process of forming the 51st state, not the Jefferson movement. That movement's not going to do anything. Unfortunately, we want the people to come along with us on this journey in Northern California, of course, and we really appreciate what they've all done, the hard work and everything. But the reality check is they don't have, there's all about a court case that's, you know, stymied in the courts right now, not going anywhere, and not ever going to yield a state out of that court process. So it's kind of, why is that even going on? But the new California movement takes up a large amount of California from the northern border to the southern border. It controls the southern borders, 5 ports in California. And it creates a formidable challenge for California not to let it go into a new state. And what that does is it successfully renders this whole notion of Cal exit null and void. And this process is a legal constitutional process. And this will succeed. The timing is ripe right now for California to go through this process and become a 51st state. And I'm absolutely sure it'll be backed up by Donald Trump. Absolutely positive he'll back it. The other ones, not so much. This three-state thing with Tim Draper and all that stuff. That, you know, that's moronic thinking. What Tim Draper would do with three states, it's going to become 3 Democratic states. Plain and simple. That's what they want. Do you think that's going to fly with the, you know, it's not going to fly. It really isn't. And it's going to be more of the same, more totalitarianism. And ultimately, I think even a way to break up those entities into just letting go and becoming their own nation together later on.
I think you're absolutely right. Well, Paul, we're almost to the end here, and this is something I want to follow up with you on in the near future about as this CalExit situation unfolds. But I wanted to get you on here tonight to talk about the threat that's coming from these organizations that have banded together, because I think they're the terrorists that are attacking America. Anyway, very quickly, how do people follow your good work?
Go to agenda21radio.news. We're on Red State Talk Radio. The show is on live from 6 to 9 Pacific every single day on Red State Talk Radio. You can pick it up live, and we have the icon Red State Talk Radio. We are
That's 6 to 9 a.m., right?
Correct, and we are one of the top-rated digital talk radio shows in the nation. We're very, very happy about that. And, of course, Red State Talk Radio is the talk monster of digital radio right now.
It is, and I'm privileged to be on that particular network, too. The Common Sense Show does air on Red State, thanks in large part to your efforts in assisting, and we appreciate that. And we are out of time. Paul, it's been very informative. We live in scary times. I want to thank you for having the courage to come on here and talk about it.
Well, stay strong, America, and thanks a lot, Dave.
Well, that was my interview with Paul Preston, and very, very telling. When we unfold this terror network, when we step back and look at it in its totality, it doesn't end with George Soros, but this is the part of the equation that we can see. It's the part we can understand. And going back, and one of the things that we didn't cover, because I think he and I have covered it so many times, we didn't think to bring it up again, but when we looked at the original people who were involved, and we touched on that briefly, but George Soros, Bank of China, Mexican consulate, Mexican drug cartels, which he hit on very, very, very hard. Now we know ISIS has been brought into it because of their affiliations, Antifa because of George Soros, and Antifa is also, as I disclosed on October 1st, Antifa is also, you know, interlocked with who? ISIS, MS-13, and that's who I believe was on the ground in Las Vegas. You know, one of the things, too, that Dave Dobenmeyer and I talked about here in the first hour that I thought was really, really interesting, and we didn't get to pursue it, but he was talking about the witnesses. And I wanted to, and he was on such a roll, I just let it go, and then it slipped my mind. But there's something that we need to revisit on this. Do you know that these witnesses in the Las Vegas tragedy have something in common with the witnesses in the Kennedy assassination? Yeah, a lot of them ended up dead in very, very bizarre circumstances. And I've written about 3 of their deaths, and I've broadcast a couple of more on my YouTube channel. But there are 7 total that I'm aware of who died unnatural deaths, who were speaking out. See, it wasn't enough that they were there, but they were actively speaking out, and now they're no longer with us. How many coincidences are we going to buy, America, until we realize that we're being played? And like I said, I haven't got to see the news here since I've come on the air. But there were two narratives 3 hours ago. Two narratives coming out of Sutherland, Texas. And they both fit the same profile. You know, lone nut assassin carrying this out. How many times are they going to play this theme? Well, as many times as we keep believing it. And to me, we have a choice here. And I think this is where the noise needs to be deafening. Google can't censor everything. Well, I suppose they could. They control 80% of all internet searches. But if you, tomorrow, dedicated yourself to going forward and proclaiming the truth as you understand it, and we all did this, we could not be drowned out. We're past the 10% threshold of what it's going to take to get people to act. But as Dave said in that first hour, you know, faith without actions is wasted. And we need to have people step up, take the bull by the horns, and start proclaiming what we know to be true. Also, too, I just got an email in, actually two emails in, and people say they were so sorry to hear that Darren Dammy, we listen to him from afar occasionally, that he's going off the air on KTAR on December the 7th. And yeah, I'm sorry to hear that too. They say they catch him intermittently. They're in different states, but you can catch his live podcast. That's right, folks. When you have someone that you believe in, you need to support them. And I don't mean just financially. You need to support them. And you take the parts of the message you agree with and go out and proclaim those messages. We have to be what the 12 disciples were. They changed the world. And we're a lot more numerous, and we need to change the world too. We need to be those messengers for good and to stand up against evil. Also, some of you had requested last week, one lady wrote to me, why didn't you have Vance on for the entire 3 hours? That was stupid, Hodges. We don't usually do any guests for 3 hours, but I promise you, we'll have Vance back. We'll also catch him on the YouTube channel. Vance and I are very good friends. He's actually considering a relocation back here to Phoenix from his home in Kansas. And we'll be getting together a lot if that happens. And we go back 25 years. So, yeah, you'll be hearing more of Vance Davis. Anyway, coming up in the next hour, you're going to hear from Zero Radio's Josh Coy, my old friend. This guy is a laugh a minute. But he delivers a very serious message. I just love his show. Love his show. You need to catch it right here on Global Star Radio Network. Anyway, stay tuned. We'll see you in hour number 3 with Josh Coy.